Welcome to Authentic Feminine Ecstasy podcast, a place where we explore our innate intimate freedom. And today I have the pleasure to be in conversation with Agata. And Agata is a friend of mine who we've been traveling together for maybe 20 years in all sorts of ways. And she is a woman which I would describe as someone who fell in love with the stage. And in that place, she discovered her presence, her freedom, her power. And in that environment, she's supporting people all over, across all sorts of walks in life, to discover their story, to discover who they are, and to create transformation. So I can say a lot more about Agata, but one more thing I like to add is that she's got an incredible humor that we share, and that's made our relationship alive, bubbly, and true. So welcome, Agata, to this podcast and to this Conversations with You series.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I'm really delighted and excited to share this time with you. Thank you for having me here.
Okay, so here we go, Agata. We've done this so many times together. We just sat on the sofa. It just brings tears to my eyes. And the amount of times that we just being silly and opening all sorts of subjects in our life, it has taken us to so deep places and so much insights. And it's like, here we are. We're going to be sharing our unique way in which we bring this awakening in us and share it with other people. And surely somebody's going to resonate with the wisdom that comes in our connection. And I like to begin with your question and what you said you were passionate about to talk with me today.
Thank you for honoring the humor. And it's such a gateway to the depths. And what I wanted to talk to you about today is difficult experiences and the gifts that they bring. And humor is something that we definitely need when those are happening. When we first talked about what is interesting to me, what is exciting, I thought top card is menopause that I'm going through.
Oh no, not the dreaded menopause.
Yes. The dreaded menopause.
You're too young to be in menopause mode.
Well, that's the thing. I think I was a quick developer and she came and get me quickly. So I'm in my mid-40s, but I have been going through a perimenopause now for a few years, and now I haven't bled for a few months, and most of my friends are older, so they also in menopause, and we are all these disintegrating creatures on the way to become something new, and that's what I'm excited about, this process of falling apart to become something new and how life invites us to do that.
Okay, so you are bringing us to this process that women go through, which we call menopause. And I said dreaded menopause because in our culture is seen as something not very positive, and women try to do all sorts of things, hormonal patches, etc., to be able to avoid or delay this process as much as possible. And you telling us that you are delighted about it, to be deconstructed and,
and to
disintegrated,
add,
you said.
Yeah, and to add to the pot, I am also using some bioidentical hormones. So I'm both glorifying menopause and saying wherever you're guided to journey through it, go for it. In the context of somebody who is completely into alternative medicine, I had this intuitive guidance to research some help with hormones, and it doesn't stop the disintegration.
So I want to know what this disintegration is about. What do you mean you're being disintegrated?
Yeah. So what I mean is, and you know, and why this is exciting, because this is really related to our whole societal paradigm of what we glorify and what we like and what we support and what we don't. So in my late 30s and kind of around 40, I was in my prime of creativity and, you know, empowered woman who's got her own career, who's visible, you know, is doing okay. even though I'm a creative person, so, you know, the success is questionable from a perspective of business, but it was good. And then with the onset of the perimenopause, the whole way that I knew myself to be as this outgoing, really active, in love with her work person started to change from the inside out without me choosing. And I found that I am not enjoying being with people. I found that I'm just loving being on my own. And the work that I love so much is basically less interesting to me.
Okay, so wow. So you're telling us that your identity as an energetic, creative, passionate woman in her work and what you're offering all of a sudden is taking a turn and a distance, and you don't know who you are if you stop doing what you believed and you believe is your identity, which is you're an actress, you're out there, you're supporting so many people, you're so visible out there in the world and so sociable and funny and likable, and you just want to retreat into a cave and not sure about your work because obviously it involves super visibility. So how do you cope with that?
Well, exactly, exactly. And on top of that comes, come the symptoms of the hormonal changes, which mean there's a kind of a fuzziness in my brain, not sleeping as much, being quick to react, you know, having been somebody with a short fuse already, now I have a really short fuse.
Well, I just when you said that about the symptoms at the physical level, the fuzzy brain, you know, lack of sleep and short fuse, I remember about my menopause days, which I had a very late menopause. But and I'm also I'm a very fiery person. So I remember throwing a statue, you know, that I didn't care that much about, I must say, all the way from the first floor onto, you know, a huge height in rage. And that's something I never done before. And that happened at that time. And I hear so many women feeling this rage.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I found the whole journey of finding way of being with my rage and understanding what's underneath it and needing to really care for my sense of safety, for my sense of boundaries, for my sense of dignity, because rage happens, you know, if I feel in some ways trespassed. But when I'm in my dignity and when I understand the needs of my vulnerable parts, then there's no need for rage, because I don't want to glorify rage. You know, rage has its place. But so it's been really interesting for me and the destroyer, you know, you talk about breaking the statue, and I really could feel the part of me that just wants to destroy and like to harness that energy for creativity.
So why women become destroyers and rageful at that stage in their life when this biological, because I mean, I was thinking that the most powerful times in a woman's life involve always blood, you know, the coming into their blood, the losing their virginity, the having their first child, and menopause, they all involve blood. And we're talking about this last stage of woman's cyclicity. And we both immediately went into the rage and into the anger, which is so unpopular, yeah,
yeah,
for women to be like that. So what do you think this is about? Why do we so angry?
Well, I think you know the answer to that very well. Yeah, I've worked with hundreds of women. And, you know, I remember myself at the age of maybe 28, when you were tutoring me about that being angry might not be a bad thing, when I was, you know, when I was being passive aggressive on every corner, but never allowed anger to be part of my identity. So I have you to thank for being in relationship with my
Excuse
anger.
Me, don't give me bad popularity here. So, but yes, of course, I knew you were going to say that. Well, I know I didn't know, what's your, after your deep insight into, you know, I was one of your mentors and you've had so many different people who have influenced you and you've grown so much in all directions, not physically, and we're not talking about weight here, but more about, you know, what the wisdom, because I believe, and I know, and other people would agree, that you're a woman with great wisdom right now, and you've become someone to be respected when you speak, because you got lots of insights. So what is your view right now as to menopause and rage?
Yeah, sure. I can share from my direct experience and observation. Well, interestingly, just to add, just to sprinkle a little bit of science, when the menopause begins, the hormones that are related to mothering stop being produced. So the part of us that was programmed to care for others and to be submissive or peacemaking, that supply for biological reasons is being cut off. So in some ways we are stripped of that function of the mother, of the bringer of milk. And, you know, then the other aspects are being called forth. And I believe that rage, maybe there's got two flavors to it that are connected or overlap. One would be unowned power. So just the very fact that we don't inhabit the base of our body, we are frightened out of the base of our body, means that we don't have access to our basic sense of I'm an animal. Respect my territory, respect my sovereignty. I'm a human animal, so it's a sovereignty that is to do with dignity, but there's also just a sense of my body, my space. Thank you very much. I own this. So I believe that when that propensity to be nice is removed, there is like a kind of pouring through of this disowned power and you know, and maybe a response to it, a memory of having been denied it. So it's like as if there was an empty space where a power should be. And when the consciousness is somehow flowing back in, there's a reactivity to that. So I feel the rage is a kind of is a reactivity to being denied our right to sit on our throne.
Wow, Agata.
This is a very beautiful way of describing the deeper layers of menopause, because it's across the board that women change and become less pleasant, apparently, initially at least. And you talk about this withdrawal of the milk, and what comes through is the fire.
Yeah. Mm.
And the image I was having is like, from the moment we start coming into our first cycle, our bodies are made to bring life, to create life. So we allow other people in, you know, being for fertility, and then the fertilization happens, and then we have a baby inside, and then we give through our body. So it's all a lot about being penetrated, if there's choice, if there isn't, invaded. Yeah.
Yes.
And so you say those hormones go down. And then the first thing you say is about claiming that space, but you haven't had the training. Yeah. Because somebody told me once that women's power is their capacity to be in tune with the moon, with the cosmos. Yeah. Mm. To receive that cosmic intelligence that makes them the creator of life. And that's a training that you begin from the moment you have your first period. But if you see women, like we saw our mothers, our grandmothers, not taking their power, then it doesn't become a training. It becomes, as you say, that identity of the nice woman. You're doing what you've been taught or you think you should do. And then in the withdrawal of that hormone, what comes out is the anger at the lack of training. Because what that person told me is that once you finish the training, when you reach menopause, you're in your power. But what you're saying is you reach menopause and you're angry that you haven't been in your power.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, wow. I mean, that's a massive thing that, you know, I hope that a lot of women are listening to this, because a lot of women are going through this process right now.
Absolutely. And to allow themselves to have the training in menopause, because menopause becomes, and I think that's why it's so difficult for a lot of women, because then it becomes like a fast forward training. It's a kind of, it's time to catch up. Yes. And all the spaces that haven't been filled with support and guidance, suddenly you feel those blank spaces inside.
Yes.
And it's not always easy to meet them. I mean, I feel very fortunate, going back to the beginning of our conversation, how to be with the loss of identity. So I'm really enjoying having some time to consciously evolve and to go through this initiation and to receive, you know, guidance from others, but largely from within and from nature and from being. And I feel that everything that's undigested in me is now up. And I feel that's what menopause is about. It's a fast forward education for becoming a queen, not the queen that reigns over, but the queen that sits in her sovereignty among other queens.
Nice image.
Absolutely. Yeah. But all the, you know, I feel like all the very young parts, they are clamoring for attention. And some of the rage, can be also, you know, the rage of the child.
Absolutely.
It's not always a grown woman.
No.
It's just that in menopause, nothing is hidden. So so all the things that also happen to us, you know, just not being attended to in our developmental stages, there'll be rage about that.
So basically, I feel like I had this image that when a woman enters menopause, she should wear a t-shirt with a danger zone and say, be careful, I'm on menopause. Because I'm thinking, what about the other people, our children, our friends, our partners? How do
Right, be careful.
That?
Yeah, queen in training.
Queen in training. I haven't been trained before, so watch it because I bite. like a wounded animal, right? So how do we? I mean, you as a woman, I know that you've had an incredible training, not just at the level of your personality and your unconscious and working with your inner parts, but also you've devoted a lot of time to dissolution of personality. So we talk about a loss of the individual as a path to connect to the emptiness, to God, to consciousness, to Wangkantanga, whatever you want to call it. And I talk about that in one of my earlier episodes, you know, about the divine pulse and entering the body. And I know that this has been your passion among many other things. So here you are losing your identity and it's like, okay, you know, you're opening and feeling the consciousness and what has to be revealed. But what about the rest of us that don't have an experience about losing their identity, and they don't have an experience of consciously doing anger and rage or discriminating the rage from the girl and the woman? Then what do you do?
Right. Well, there's a lot of wisdom in the body, and there's a lot of wisdom out there at the moment about trauma resolution and creating safety in the nervous system. And actually, I would put that before emptiness. You know, I mean, it's wonderful to know that we are free somewhere, always on one level, but we are here in our bodies, and the menopause is happening in our bodies. For menopausal women, for myself now, I'm reaching a lot for soothing of the nervous system, giving myself what I need, pleasure, just so all of that.
So you're recommending to women, and this is you who've done so much work, and you're reaching out for support and soothing. So this is key, because we are queens in a fast forward training. All of a sudden, we don't have the tools, so we need to go somewhere to get this, to support us to get and to listen to the wisdom that wants to come through the body.
Absolutely.
And go and meet the trauma, and meet the trauma that's there.
Absolutely. And that's where also, you know, play and creativity can come in. Because, you know, on the other hand, trauma has become an extremely popular word.
Yes.
Yes, exactly. And that we can kind of overdo it on the trauma part.
Yeah.
And that's where my experience of play, you know, and I'm still, even though I'm saying about stepping back from work, I'm stepping back from drivenness, but I'm still offering spaces. And I'm just constantly amazed how just a space of safety and play can allow the body mind to find a way to heal itself, you know, to complete a process. So this, for example, a burning rage, you know, can become a play fight.
And it's
still complete, and it's still something is integrated in that. So I would say, when we're talking about the wisdom of the body, you know, I'm saying that in many ways, to move, to improvise, to create safe containers where we're saying, now I'm playing being angry. And again, this is something that you've been offering, and I have done with you, and other women have. And you understand that we need these places that are outside of daily life, where we are allowed to lift the lid of conditioning.
Yes.
Yeah.
So again, because all of this began because you began talking about menopause, because clearly this is one of the upheavals of your life. Because of course it's not pleasant to be short fused and to not sleep well, and needless to mention the hot flashes, and you know, and the sort of irritation that's there and having to cope with all the material that's not yet integrated in the body.
Yeah, right.
Early stuff, and have a relationship and go to work. No wonder you want space.
Right.
Because you're so busy already. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is kind of what sets us off in this conversation. I'm glad we talked about that publicly, because that's something that more and more, but it's not really talked about, you know, the support group to menopausal women.
Absolutely. Did you know that at this time in history, there is more menopausal women on the planet than ever before?
Yes, I can imagine.
But... yeah, probably it's to do with, you know, medical advancement and just how many people there are. So my theory is really that this whole initiation of the menopause, you know, is a revolutionary and evolutionary movement. And as there is a large quantity of women who are claiming their power, you know, the world could be a different place.
Wow. So,
let's dream big.
I want to know, how do you feel women being in their true power, not what I call imitation of male power, which being CEOs of big company and getting super stressed and making a lot of money and all of that. How would it change the world to, I mean, I'm going a bit stray because I want to go back to this thing about the adversity being a pathway to expansion, to evolution, to where you want to get to. So it's almost like you're telling us that you have to have a slap on your face and really have a hard time in order to become a queen, you know, something like that. But I'll ask you that.
Yeah. But who doesn't get a slap on the face? The thing is that actually just being human is enough. So menopause is a bonus, if you like.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But I was referring more in general. You're saying that adverse circumstances are the path to transformation.
Yes.
And then we focused onto menopause. And so I'm going to park this for a moment because I'm going to go back to that. And I want to understand what you mean when you say women in their power can change the world. How would they change the world, women in their power?
Yeah. I mean, again, I can only speak of my intuitive sense of it.
Yes.
Everything I'm speaking is just my perspective. I'm not professing, you know, the truth and only truth.
I want to stop you here, because when I talk to people, and I ask them questions like that, and they're big questions, they do this little disclaimer before.
Yeah, I could feel that.
Yes, and I want to say, of course. On the one hand, for the audience that's listening to us, you're not saying, hello, this is the way, you know. But still, there is this fear that we're going to be judged and we're going to be penalized if we stand up in our power. If you say, hello, this is how I feel. Of course, it's obvious that what you're telling us is how you feel and how you know. But still, that little disclaimer. And it's not just you, it's so many people. And I'm thinking about this fear of judgment, and I like to have another podcast just on that. That you can't, and you talk about your sovereignty and your queen, and here we are.
Thank you. It's so beautiful you sensing it, and actually, I could feel that going off my center in saying that. That the very subconscious fear, just keep it a little safer here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
So please, no one come and attack Agata, my friend, for what she's saying. Stop it. I will be there at the doorway.
Yeah. Thank you. So when I say women in their power, I feel it's women that are not afraid of all the different faces of a cycle of transformation, and that include all the different faces of life and all the different faces of womanhood. So when I say that, if we look at just basically even on the at the life of a plant, we tend to like, in our society, we tend to like things in their prime. But a young plant is vulnerable. And the plant that starts wilting and then rotting is dying. It's not interesting. So for me, a woman in their power is the one that can encompass in herself all these flavors. She is present and at home with her vulnerability of being a delicate little sprout. And she's at home with being, you know, a rose in full bloom. And she is at home in wilting and then actually disintegrating and disappearing. And that's true power, because when we know that, then everything that comes towards us is welcome, because we know that whatever happens to us, we can stay and we can be that. How does that resonate with you?
I love that aspect that you're bringing us about owning all the different stages of the cycles of being woman, yeah, from the maiden to the crone.
Yes.
And what's coming to me that I want to add to that, because this is like owning your own sovereignty of the wholeness and every aspect, is not kind of repressed or shunted or hidden from who you are. And that's kind of that queen. But that queen, if she is in her queendom within herself, how would she act in the world? And what would be, not act, because I'm not talking about the action per se, because that is continuously changing, but what would be the focus that she will have if we talk about changing the world?
Yeah.
What needs changing?
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Well, there's, again, it's what's coming to me just now is the connection of love and power. That's really what needs changing. So we know about love without power, and we know about power without love. Unfortunately, we know a lot about power without love. And those became, unfortunately, polarized with gender. So throughout time, through our roles, somehow we became polarized, where women often would carry that love that is not connected to their belly. And
so that power,
that's what I mean by power. Yes.
Yes. The power you talked about earlier. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then, you know, people who grow up as men then are told not to feel their vulnerability, not to feel their feelings. So it becomes all action, power, but power without feeling, leads to where we are now.
Well, I mean, the image I'm having is power without love, and love without power is persecute a victim. And that's what we see is playing out in our world, in our relationships, within ourselves. We don't have to go to Russia and Ukraine. That's the collective manifestation. Mm. And actually, I don't want to go into that area, because we're all persecutors and victims in different ways. And we do this dance with each other, because we both need each other, because the whole thing has been separated. And to unite those two things, it's one of the polar opposites that have preoccupied me, and they're key in my work that I offer. And last night, on Tuesday nights, I have a group of women that come, and we call it Temple Time. And we move the Shiva Shakti dance, which it's about allowing the intelligence of the cosmos to penetrate you and to allow the movement of the universe, which is the spiral, to be the one that leads your body rather than this functional straight, you know, like cities. It's all kind of angular corners. And if you're in nature, there is no angular corner. It's all spirals and movement. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what we do. And last night it was solstice. And I wanted to bring at the center the possibility of inner marriage between power and love, vulnerability and potency, which we use the elements of water and fire. And in the Shiva Shaktis, as you know, because you've danced, is very watery. You feel like mercury. You feel it's like seaweed underwater. Well, at least that's a first stage of it. And then, so we were all in this state of vulnerability, receptivity intensely. And then I invited the fire to come in. And I had an experience which I've never had before, which was, if you look at the flame, has a very similar movement and consistency than the water. And usually when we see fire, we put it out with water. So they are enemies, you know, they cancel each other. So in this union, I saw myself being visually, internally, I was watery and flamey. And the two elements came together. I saw them together, one inside the other. And that gave me imagery of in the body, not as an ideology, not as an emotional thing that you can be kind of like vulnerable and potent at the same time, but at a biological sense. And I can't get away from this image of being the both flow. They're both super receptive. They're both formless.
It's so beautiful to how you're relating it to it, like from the place of mystery, and you know, not to come to these things with our New Age preconception. Fire is this, water is this, but just to really directly feel them through the direct experience. Beautiful, thank you. Can I share with you my bodily experience?
Yes.
Of love and power.
Yes.
So the way I've been experiencing it is through the simultaneous inhabitation of my heart and my womb and cervix area, and not as, you know, some kind of rigid training that now I'm gonna sit and do that, but just noticing that it's very rarely that I have allowed myself to actually feel my heart and to feel my womb or vulva or cervix. And when I feel them both, they kind of form like a spine, you know, they form this upright connection, but it's fueled, and I feel, you know, I feel safe there, and I can trust myself.
So there is your moments of experiencing your sovereignty.
Yes.
When you ground that love. So that takes me back to your image of the milk, the withdrawal of the milk. So how about putting hot milk, milk and fire together? Because again, the milk is liquid.
Yes.
And and so the image is like, how can we bring these two elements together? The milk, hot milk in the body. So a menopausal woman, a woman who comes into her power, she's comfortable to be loving that's just aspect that you said about the plant, the very kind of vulnerable and fragile, but the power of that vulnerability, because it's kind of like receptivity. When we enter that mode, and we are anchored all the way down, then we receive guidance. And that's power. It's not my power. My power is my ego, right? I want to be better than you. I want to be right. I mean, that's across the board. That's when we enter this dynamic that we all have learned about, you know, being in competition, in wanting to be powerful, you know, and fighting for it. So this possibility that we can be in this power, which is not yours, or it's not mine. It's allowing. You need to be powerful to allow a penetration. You know, we talk about the maiden is penetrated, you know, to create life. So the menopausal woman or the menopausal man, that would be a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Would allow themselves to enter this vulnerability, this receptivity, and be penetrated by a force bigger than the mind game of I am important, which is a concept, but not the construct, but the energy. And then you receive guidance, and then your action surely is bound to be connected. So we would have queens and kings running around, right? In themselves, you know.
Hopefully, yeah. And hopefully seeing, you know, what's needed and serving.
Exactly. There is a lot of so many feelings that I'm having as we get into this place in the conversation, and aware that, you know, we can't just, we could be here for hours.
Exactly. Like, it's hard to contain us to one subject because we're excited about it all.
Yeah. We just got. So there is this thing about, I'm going to withdraw, you know, I'm not going to share that because this is just going to, I've already got something parked. So I'm going to go back to the park thing. Otherwise, I'm going to get a fine. So we were talking about this thing about, oh my God, I am not in a happy time in my life, you know? And in my last episode, I talked about how to deal with a bad deal. Because I came back from Crete and I just had one bad deal after another. And since the podcast, my back went as well, adding to the wild boar, to everything was happening. You know? And so I was sharing how to deal with bad deal. But what we're talking here, it's the place I didn't go, which is, it's not just the bad deals, like I'm having a bad day. Yeah, things are, I'm going through a period of things are not flowing. You're talking about crisis. The crisis that comes into life, and you entered with the menopause. And it feels like what I'm hearing with us entering this subject is that crises are inevitably the way in which we transform. And it's natural and it's unnatural to avoid them and to judge ourselves or others for entering those spaces, which are very painful. And what we are both saying here is that we are not equipped to go through those crises. We go to the doctor and you get antidepressants or you get the patches or you go to counseling, now it's a bit better, you can go. Before, our grandmothers couldn't go and talk to anyone. And that's why there is so much trauma and the word, because we carry all this unfelt feeling from our inheritance. So I would like you to share, because you said at the beginning to me, before we started the podcast, that there is a little story that you have that sums up how these things that we called negative, unwanted in our lives, become the key to our becoming.
Yeah. I think I'd love to share with you more about the heroine's journey than the story. I feel the story is for another podcast.
Okay, so you're planning more, eh?
Yeah, let's keep them hanging. But I'd love to share with you about the heroine's journey. Okay. Yeah, would you like to hear about that?
I love it. We're all loving it. We're all waiting for it. tell us.
Yeah. Yeah, the crisis as a gift. Yeah, when you said, you know, when you talked about crisis as a necessity and how, you know, how we don't want it. I mean, obviously, menopause is not the first difficult thing that happened to me. The way I developed my work happened because I wanted to share my story with my community, and the story being of a great adversity in my teenage years, and how that really shaped me. And from that, my work unfolded. And in the last however many years it's been now, I've directed, you know, several plays, whatever, maybe 30 plays of people who wanted to share their stories of adversity. And that was, you know, the beautiful illustration of how in each of our lives, we are called on this journey to change. And that call never looks attractive. You know, this has been described. I'm not an author of this phrase. So Joseph Campbell was the first to coin the phrase hero's journey that he extracted from mythologies all over the world. And since I've worked with something that I'm calling heroine's journey, which is a feminine version of that. And what it is we are living our lives and something happens. Somebody dies, you know, we have an illness, COVID happens, yeah? We suddenly find out that we are in climate crisis. These are all calls to change, or, you know, it could be call to descend, call to adventure. These things that we don't want, these things that we don't welcome, this is, you know, this is a framework to say, okay, after the resistance, we are called into the underworld. We are called into a place of transformation. And I'm sure everybody can relate to it. When we go to this place, we are disoriented. Nothing was as it was before. It's all to do with loss. It's all to do with being mastered by a force that is bigger than us. And as women, that's where we learn to surrender, but to surrender, you know, with choice, with presence, and to dissolve. So this is what crisis is. But our culture is all against dissolving. So we are not allowed ever, or, you know, generally, to go through a transformation because there is no space for that cocoon experience. Beautiful. If we weren't so terrified of the unknown, of the dark, of the dissolution, we would allow the natural process of fermentation, of transformation that the caterpillar goes through. And then we would come back with gifts. So that cycle is the one of going down, the dissolution, the finding of our powers that are rooted in reality, in truth, not rooted in coping, and then returning back with the gifts. And that stage of returning back with the gifts is what we are least versed in our society. And, you know, and again, you and I intuitively have been working with this process of finding our gifts, because we can sense that that's what's needed, that that's the stage that is missing. So I can feel that you're feeling me, and I'm sure you would like to embellish and fill the gaps of what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, one, what I was feeling was that I am not a menopause woman. I'm a postmenopause woman. And I am, again, since my mother died a month ago, I'm entering this disillusion. Mm-hmm. And, but what's strange about my disillusion is you have a title. I am a menopausal woman. So, and that's kind of like pre-established and known and recognize that there is a crisis there. The body is going through a crisis, but I don't have any title to my, you know, my dissolution that's going through my body. And that's why I feel I'm not giving it enough time. So that's why I'm having all these apparent difficulties. And my back is stopping and say, excuse me, listen, down. And I'm saying, but I'm busy.
Yes, you're refusing your call to descend, which is archetypal. To refuse is archetypal. Yes, resist.
Yes. Yes, I'm at the resistance, full-blown resistance. Although, as you know, I am a good girl and I can listen soul with consciousness. I have no choice. I've just surrendered to this process.
Beautiful. But this is it. Like we have layers, right? We have layers of resistance to disintegration.
Yes.
Because we love aliveness. Aliveness is great, but the queen of the underworld, she needs more from us.
Yes, beautiful. And the other thing that I went was the gift. There's this journey I do with women that they've done the initiatory journey, which is a journey that you get a map as to how to manage your incarnation and the fact that you are water, air, fire, the basis of the elements. And I talk about in other episodes, is when they've done that and they're going through this journey of giving the gift and finding out their gift is always within the trauma of childhood.
Yes.
So that place.
Bingo.
The difficulty is that they can't recognize it as a gift because it becomes their survival strategy. So to separate the gift from the survival strategy becomes then a place where you have choice and freedom and you can glow from it. In the other way, when it's a survival strategy, the others glow with it, but you don't. You feel drained, yeah. Mm. So these are the two places I went, the state of resistance, and this is where I am myself, and the importance of this process that you're taking as the hero's journey. It's the process of bringing an endless gifts that are buried deep within us, as souls that we're incarnating here for 2 minutes, because that's another thing where we're not aware, which is very important to know that it's very transient and very quick, almost like the life of a caterpillar, you know, in the context of the universe, that we're in the infinite and we're a speck of dust.
Absolutely. And it's only because of our separatist mind that, you know, it has this context of brevity, because if we knew that we are just part of life unfolding forever, then yes, our life is very short, but we will continue.
Yes. Right?
So it's just like
very short in the body. Very
absolutely.
Short
it's like, body. Oh, my very important life. Yes. Actually very short.
So in this short journey that we're on, I'm thinking about the butterfly Yeah. The spots, the lines, the colors, the richer and richer aspects of their wings happens in the process of the chrysalis. But it seems to happen once for them because their life is really, really short.
Yeah.
Even shorter than us. So for us, one is not enough. And so every time we go into the chrysalis, through the stages of resistance and then getting support and acceptance, it's like, I feel it would be a little bit like that. The call is made, then we enter resistance, then negation, then beginning to bring acceptance that this is happening. And then for me, the next stage will be affection and attention and appreciation will be what we need to follow to be able to stay in this chrysalis without aborting it and not allowing us to bring the gifts through. So in every time we go into the chrysalis, we get another mark. It's like the warrior, you know, the different warrior, what do we call them? Warrior marks that he gets from every battle.
Yeah. You know?
So these are our battles as human beings. And some, I'm thinking about some babies, you know, that they're born with difficulties.
Yeah.
And how they have a different stand to life. And I know that you were one of those babies, not babies, but teenager. And look at you. Mm. Yeah. You've become here. You are talking about that chrysalis and the beauty and the struggle of disintegration.
Yes, completely, completely. And that's why, you know, avoiding crisis is avoiding becoming the gift givers that we are.
Hey, that's a good sentence to end.
Completely, yeah.
So, beloved listeners, here we are. The sentence for this podcast is, say it again for us.
To avoid crisis is to avoid bringing your gift.
So if you are in a crisis right now, if you are feeling that there is something wrong with you and you're withdrawing from your daily life and circumstances that you're identified, just begin to surrender because it's a good thing. And nobody's told us before, not even at school, especially at school. So,
yes, again, completely. And get all the support you need. It's not easy. We're not saying it's easy,
but it's essential.
But it's
essential. Not easy, but it's essential.
And it's worth it.
And it's worth it. Wow. So, Agata, thank you very much for being with me here today at a short notice. And it's been for me an absolute joy to see you, to hear you, and to do our interaction, which we haven't done for a long time.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure. And I hope we said something that will be of use to others.
Yeah. So, beloved listeners, thank you for being here with us on this podcast of conversations with you. And feel free to look underneath it is all the information and links if you want to know more about Agata and the wonderful work that she's doing with theater, with transformation. And if you are interested in coming and joining me on these conversations with you, and or you have a question, please email us. You have all the information below. And I'll be joining you in the next podcast for a new episode and a new adventure. Thank you for listening.